Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mark. Oh, who gives a fuck from 93 TV? This is my co-host Bob Budafugo. Bob, say hi.
Hey, guy.
We've got a crowd that's in a frenzy, Bob. Let's go down to the announcers for the start of the game. And now, please rise for the singing of our national anthem.
Welcome to Banner Up. This is episode 7. I can't believe we've only done 7 of these things and we've been recording for like 7 years. I don't know.
Seemingly, yes. Yep.
It seems like it, right? I'm Fred Solomon.
And I'm Jimmy Enright. How are you, everyone?
We're all fine, thanks. How are you?
We're doing great as well. Anything happened since the last time we recorded in early April?
Well, they still haven't played baseball yet.
No, they have not. So remember I don't remember where it was, but Fred and I are in a fantasy baseball league together with a bunch of other people. And I had made a joke in the course of the draft, the later half of the draft, that if there even is a season, and I believe Fred's response was, of course there will be a season. And now, don't you feel like a silly goose at this point? Kind of?
No, because I said there... I feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
my prediction came true.
Well, allegedly. So who the heck knows, though, right? Is there any guarantee in this year of all years that even if there is a plan, could it still go to hell?
It could. Yeah. Let's get our plugs out of the way, and then we'll really roll
into things.
Open this up. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Find us on Twitter at Banter Up Show. Send us an email, banterupshow@gmail.com, and find us on iTunes at Banter Up. Okay, now, just because they agreed on a 60-game season doesn't mean that it could actually come to fruition. If more things close, if more COVID-19 cases are becoming positive, they might just say, you know what? We might have a great testing program in set, but it's not worth it to actually do this.
Yep.
So that's always possible. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're really going to go forward with this 60-game season, come hell or high water.
I think so, too.
I mean, it would have to be like an absolute national like catastrophe, even worse than a pandemic, to really stop what they're doing
here. Yep. Well, here's the, like, I suppose we can go in a different order, because we were probably going to do some general coronavirus talk. I'll kind of merge the two of them together into one talking point. One thing about our April show, when we were talking about the numbers and things like that, is we were wrong on some aspects, I'll say, about at the time there was like, I don't know, what, not like less deaths than there were flu deaths in a light season. So we're, you know, kind of like, eh. But I will say in our defense, who could have seen the unrolling catastrophe as it still went on? But considering our leader, I guess it's not totally a surprise. However, though.
Considering our leader and considering pretty much the general attitude of the United States, I mean, it's, you know, me first. I don't give a shit about anybody else. Fuck your social distancing. Yep. I'm not going to wear a mask. Hey, I'm going to get upset and burn a building and then steal shit from it. I don't give a shit.
Yep, exactly. But we had said at that time that the thing that struck us was a common sense approach, like a middle ground, not the either or of the, oh my God, shut everything down, don't do anything until forever, or the, oh, screw it, just whatever. There was a nice middle ground to meet. And that can happen here with Smart, because frankly, any of these players that are coming positive with COVID-19, they're either asymptomatic or it's incredibly mild. As this has rolled out over time, you're seeing more and more things, more and more numbers coming out that there's a lot of asymptomatic people. There's a lot of people. There's some estimates, even from the CDC recently, that upwards of 25 million people already have antibodies, which means a lot of people have had it and we didn't know it. Like the first death was actually in February, which means it's been around a lot longer than when they thought it was. So when you factor all these things in and the player's not getting it, it isn't a go for it no matter what and, oh my God, two players got it shut down. How about we do the middle ground? Like the Twins are doing it. There's two coaches that are in their 60s. They're basically not letting them work this year. They're going to pay them and everything. But the Twins said, you know, to be cautious, it's one guy is 63, the other one's like 67. They're saying, you know, stay home this year, not worth it. It agreed. That's the type of thing that we should have been doing from the get-go. And I'm glad to see there's a common sense approach to it. Not like, you know, the handful of people, including the older umps, the ones that don't want to, leave it up to them. But obviously be careful be as careful as possible no matter what. And if there's somebody that wants to sit out, sit out. But if you want to play, play. That's it. And if, I mean, if something does terribly bad happen, like a death or, you know, a couple of players needing to go to the hospital, then you re-examine. But if everybody knows the risks involved and they can do the mitigation steps that they can, why are we doing this? Oh, my God, shut it off. I've seen on Twitter multiple times that a couple teams, the Blue Jays and a few other people down in spring training and their spring training sites in Florida had some positive tests. And people on Twitter are like, oh, my God, shut it down. Like, calm down. These are the type of people that have got us into the situation we're in. That there always should have been a happy medium approach to it. Protect the ones that need it.
Yep.
And realize that for a lot of the vast majority of the younger people, it's either asymptomatic or very mild symptoms. Period. End of story. And help the people out that need it. Put those people away, and everybody else. It sounds bad.
Hey, I've heard this story before.
Yeah. Go into this building
for that shit again.
Trust us, it's your.
How about a shower?
It's for your protection. Trust us. And with the president in charge too, I guess it's not. Yeah, that's not a little bit disconcerting.
How long before we get canceled? I don't know if we can make that joke anymore.
No, we can't. No, we won't go down this road.
Sorry,
but anyway, you protect the people that need the protection. And everybody else understands that this is the reality, and most of us are probably going to be okay if we get it. Like, so roll on. I mean, I know there's some people say, well, there is that slight possibility, but you can get smoked in a car, like with the Eagle Opera. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen.
You can get struck by lightning. You can get killed by a drunk driver. You can get shot by somebody. We're not getting rid of cars. Yep. We're not getting rid of alcohol. We're not getting rid of guns, that's for damn sure. So there's a risk you take pretty much when you wake up every morning. You know, I mean, how just overly cautious do we have to be here? Like, I think if people know what they're up against and what the safe practices are, you gotta like really ease some of these restrictions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they luckily, but now the restrictions have been eased, and frankly, especially where I live in Arizona, the numbers are off the charts. So for March, there was like, I remember at one point early in March, there was like 9 cases in Arizona or something like that. Yep. And everything was starting to shut down. You know, ended up, you know, a couple hundred just in March, like a couple thousand in April. We're doing anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 a day now at this point in throughout June.
Yep.
And it's restaurants open, bars open, and everything. And this is that. So things have opened up. So this is where you do that again. That common sense middle ground approach. Even now, like, okay, maybe do you step back on a couple of things and see where this is. Get more stringent on the mask wearing because it's proven that it's helped at this point now. And I know people point to like, oh, Fauci said in March that it's pointless. Well, things change. Like this, like.
It's not March anymore.
It's not March anymore. Things change. This thing is brand new. They're learning things out. The amount of people on both sides that are statistically idiots is troubling to me. You got statistics are coming out more and more showing that for people under 50, it's way less than 1% of chance of dying on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, equal amounts on a lot of other things that we commonly deal with all the time. And then you have the other side where showing there's a few mitigation steps we can take. And they're pointing to like old sayings and quotes from people and things like that as to say why they shouldn't do these things. Like the amount on both sides to fit whatever political agenda they have, like they're more concerned yep. about holding their political points than they are with doing the common sense, smart things that help out. Like it, I'm so pissed off at both ends of the spectrum. The oh my god, shut it all down!
And of course,
the, I want to do it. Mask is subjugation and all this other crap. Like, just don't be just be a good citizen. Like, follow the social contract that we all kind of generally follow to make sure this thing doesn't fall apart. And as we've seen, it easily falls apart.
It's a contract that we all should follow, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We follow it when we think it's convenient, and then when it's not, you know what? All bets are off.
Yep. Oh, I know. I mean, I liken the mask thing. So as much as I have my opinions that the statistics have come out to show that it isn't the death sentence people said. I mean, but they were going with percentages based on the actual reported numbers when that clearly a lot more people had it than that. But so I wear a mask anytime I go into any sort of building, grocery stores, Targets, Walmarts, things like that, immediately mask. I mean, Phoenix is asking, Arizona is asking people to do it, but I've seen enough stats that it's helpful. So I do it. I'm not an idiot. I liken the mask thing to returning a cart to a cart corral. Like, you don't have to do it, but you're kind of a dickhead if you don't. Not kind of. You are a dickhead. It's a simple thing you can do
to
preserve order. Return the carts to the corral.
Right.
And guess what? Now, wear the damn mask. It proven that it helps. It lowers by, 70% the spread? I mean, it's something that yep. is... And you... Oh, it looks like sheep. You're saying this. Oh, you're 1984 all over. You're wearing the mask. I mean, it's the dumbest right. take I've ever heard. Just, again, people that are statistically idiots.
Well, the fact is, It's really simple. If you want to go outside, if you want to, you know, go to a Target and Walmart and all that shit, you wear a mask. Otherwise, hey, you don't have to go. Get everything delivered. Yep. Not a problem.
Yeah, so you see these idiots fighting people at the front door, like some old idiot fighting like some guy at Walmart.
I saw that. Like, those are good.
Dude, yeah. you're the one yeah, yeah, yeah. who, like, you look like you're 60. You're in an elevated age group. I'm 39 yes. and I'm in pretty I got a couple extra pounds, but I'm in pretty good cardiovascular shape. I'm probably going to be okay if I get it. You're not, old man. You should be wearing the mask. Like the amount of
I do wear the mask.
You do too. You're getting in that
I thought you were talking to me. Yeah.
you are.
Now here's the thing. I have to wear two masks. Guy.
Yep, so. Yes. What'd you say?
I have to wear two masks.
A nose mask and the chin mouth mask, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just all north to south, yeah.
That's really great. We bought some masks from Target. The ones we had first bought from Walgreens, they're like way too tight around the ears and they pull your ears out and make you look like Dumbo. So I was getting tired of that. They're right. just uncomfortable. So I bought these ones from Target, and they're freaking huge. I look like Bane with them on, and I've been trying to do the Bane voice every time I get whenever I put them on, because I mean they go up like up underneath my glasses, over my nose, and like all the way down my neck, basically. So they're massive.
Jesus Christ!
When I wore one, I had a sock.
That's not even like a neck goiter. That's like a face goiter. That's like fucking. That's good lord.
It's everything.
That's amazing.
It's all there. Yep. So. Target made them a little on the big side, and there was only like large XL and then kid size. So it's like, well, all
right.
Well,
right.
I guess I'm doing this giant ass one. And like, how about we get like can we get like a large medium in here or something? So, but it's looser around the ears. And so I don't look like an idiot anymore with the other one. But I mean, I think we all,
I mean, you still do, but not for that.
Correct. Like I said, I want a, we haven't done it yet, but. I want a family picture with all of us in a mask, you know, for something like when my kids, grandkids, are like, what the hell was going on in 2020? That you yeah. can say, yeah, the mask, it's going to look like, you know, any of the other weird things that happened when you were a child in like the early 1900s, for instance, you know, like when the Spanish flu was going around and, you know, iron lungs
Hang
and
on,
things
don't,
like that.
Don't please. So, it. It, please don't call it the Spanish flu or the Spanish influenza.
It's racist.
That's punching it's down. Punching. I don't appreciate
Correct.
That.
Yep, that's punching down. So, nope, I agree.
Right.
Well, I'll avoid some of those topics. When we put the rundown in, I avoided certain things just as if, like, well, let's not.
Well, let's not no, use- there's no point. No, no. There's no point in talking about certain things. No. I don't want to talk about cancel culture. I don't want to talk about anything else.
I don't either.
Because it's pointless. Yep.
All I will say is that I'm tired of white people repeatedly lecturing me. And it's like, you don't get it either. You're also supposed to shut up. Just because you're a white liberal and you think we're all just shut up and listen is the whole point. But all I'm flooded with...
It's the white savior. Yeah, exactly. You know that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm flooded with... Do you know what this is? It's that, you know, you're flooded with constant lectures on Twitter and everywhere else from, you know, from the white knights. And it's like, if I'm told to shut up and listen, you also shut up and stop white-splaining what things are and what they're not. That's all I'll say. I'm sick of it. I've done plenty of listening. I'm fine with that. But I also want you to listen too and shut the hell up and stop, you know, echoing things to try to look cool. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I'll say about that.
I'm going to say even less than
that. Okay, yep. So my part. But above all, obviously,
if this was...
we all know what we're talking about. I'm from Minnesota. That particular cop is a pile of shit, and I'm glad he's facing murder.
Of course he is.
He's a giant pile of shit, and fuck him, and lock him up. I mean, yes. If we had the death penalty, he deserved it. He's clearly, you could see the video, he's a depraved pile of shit. So, and
of course he is, and it wasn't his first rodeo, too, which makes it even more disgusting that people were allowing this to go on.
And 100% changes need to happen across the board. More training, just and different allocation of resources. I'm all on board with that. But I also want white liberals to shut the hell up and get out of the way. You know, we can help, but you shouldn't be leading the charge and whining constantly. So, help. But also shut up.
There's this picture that really stuck with me, and then we'll move on. But I just want... There's a picture of this fucking white, entitled kid giving the finger to a black cop just standing there and just trying to just hold his cool. And it's just amazing. Like, that, to me, sums up everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Yeah, I think that... Without it's delving disgusting. More into it, it's the whole thing sucks. Obviously, I don't like to see my own home. I was born in Minneapolis, so I don't like to see all of what happened. But it happened. Then let's use it to change what we need to change, and hopefully, we don't have to deal with this shit again. Which we probably are. It's the reality of
the
situation. But yeah. We already probably said more. I think we approached it in a good way, though, where we're not going to get yelled at by anybody. I hope so.
Who the fuck's going to yell at us? We're not allowed to voice an opinion?
No.
Because it doesn't align with theirs?
Yeah. That's sort of the lesson we've been given these last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Right? I mean...
That's real. That's real tolerance. I forgot.
I agree with you, but you know the deal. So
I do know the deal. Let's talk about the 60-game season.
There we go. Yep. Any more coronavirus talk?
Not really.
How's things been? I mean, you said, like, working from home.
I work from home. I wear a mask when we go out. It's pretty much, I don't want to say business as usual, but I think people are really subscribing to the panic that's going around. And I think people are associating the high positive cases as automatic death sentences, and they're not. Like, the numbers say that they're not, but people are just overreacting, and I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating, because like you said, we can't find that middle ground. It's either all or nothing, and like with anything else, whether it's politics or whatever, it's just, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, and rightfully so, the concentration on coronavirus went away for a good week and a half there, at least.
Hang on, concentration, again.
We're canceling that word.
find another word.
Focus. Yeah.
Yes.
The focus went away on coronavirus there for a good week and a half. But if anything, that should show you that the media will latch onto things and stay on them as long as people are watching. And so then there was a different focus on something else, rightfully so. And now numbers are going up like crazy, so back onto it. But if numbers were sort of middling... And this was not really petering out, but just there, and people were going about their business. I think they would move on to something else, like full tilt in the election or something like that. That should tell you that...
There'd be something else to complain about.
Some of this sensationalism is partially fueled by the media, because otherwise they would be a lot more upfront about the numbers. All they're hitting you is with the number of positives. But among that positives, who's asymptomatic? Who's mild symptomatic? What are the age groups? What, you know, what's, are they in the hospital? You know, there's all these things that are deeper than the numbers, and we don't touch any of that whatsoever.
No, because that's good news, and good news isn't exciting.
And I'm not saying report this so people, like, there's a way that you can report it responsibly where you can still say, even though you are probably going to be okay, be responsible for everybody else. Do your part to help everyone else.
Do your part.
And if you wear a mask, we can probably kill this thing out. I mean, that's the reality of it. If you do the pieces that you're supposed to do, we can protect people and we can kill this out. You know, and even if you, but if you do,
and
get
we
it,
can still
probably
go back to what, well, yeah. Yeah, we can do all that and still enjoy the things that we were enjoying before.
Just a little different.
In moderation.
Of course, yeah, in moderation a little differently. But they don't, it's numbers. I mean, because it sells, because they, unfortunately, the media model we have now is based on clicks. And what do you think is going to get the clicks? I from that aspect, I don't trust the media's handling of this because they're.
Well, it's the regular media or social media. Take your pick.
Yep.
It's the same thing. It's let's just get eyes on it and not even care if it's true.
Because they want the juicy headline for you to click and for them to get advertising or revenue from that. I mean, but on the flip side, though, why not do a juicy headline about some of these deeper numbers and, you know, antibody test, you know, things like that. Like, why is it the other? So I you know, that's the other.
That's not juicy.
I mean, it could be. Well, I mean, but frankly, though, if you are hearing that this isn't as bad as we've made it out to be, well, are they going to admit that they've been a little obscene about their coverage of it? They're not going to do that. So,
of course not. They'll admit that when Trump admits that he was wrong about it being like the flu.
And everything else that he said.
Yes,
it'll just disappear.
Exactly.
It'll be beautiful. It's from 15 and it'll be down to zero. It's beautiful. It's just gone. It disappears.
Yep. Yep.
No, I don't take responsibility for anything. No. No. And then what's the other thing you said recently? Like, no, I don't kid. I don't kid. We're testing like so many people every day. We test more than anyone. Like, shut up. Like, I hate him.
When did Trump become Jewish? You're just on a roll today. Just
did I sound like a Jewish guy?
Seriously. Yeah, kind of.
All right, well, it wasn't intentional.
That's that 9% coming out.
The 9% of me was coming out there. Yeah, no, I'm sorry about that. So,
I'll give you 9%, buddy.
I'm sorry to my German ancestors for that. So, apologize. some just moderate humor. I'm sorry. Can we still make jokes about? No, we really can't.
No, can't.
No, so, okay. But I am.
Well, we can still make jokes about. We can still make Karen jokes because, like, I guess that's okay.
That's okay. Yep, it's okay to make fun of women if, you know, they act a certain way or something like that. So, but
yeah. Yep.
Anyway, there we go again. So, all right. Well, I got nothing else to say to you.
Okay.
Be safe. Wash your hands. Wear a mask.
Let's talk.
That's it. Pretty
yeah,
simple.
That's it.
Yep,
exactly.
Pretty simple.
I mean, look, this is not that difficult.
Nope.
What was the major things that were coming out when this really hit, like back in March? Wash your hands for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Mm-hmm. This is not that difficult.
Same thing now. They're just also asking you, they've statistically analyzed this, and now they found that mask wearing is actually very helpful. So guess what? Just do that. Add that to the whole thing you've been doing before. But and continue to stay away from people where possible. There you go.
Yes.
That's it. And we'll kill it off. But yeah, why not? It's tyranny. So let me get in my lifted truck and yell about it. Let me wear some sunglasses and yell at you from my pickup truck instead. So.
All right, baseball. So even after all that, we still are headed to some semblance of a season. We got 60 games beginning on either July 23rd or 24th, which I'm not really sure why that is.
Well, because they're doing
baseball's coming back when just make it like make it like opening day though.
But they've always do that. They have like a game or two on one date, and then everybody else on the other. They always kind of they split that for whatever reason. So I had heard like
The reason they did that in April was because it was to avoid like bad weather and rainouts and things like that. It's the fucking end of July. I think we're good.
There's not gonna be any snow on the. But I think they're trying to do. I had read an article. It's the New York Post, so take that for what it is. But
That's gospel to me.
They're great at headlines, at least, but we'll see what they do. But they're saying Yankees, Nationals in D.C. on the night of the 23rd primetime to kick it off.
Okay. All
right. Pretty good, right?
Not bad.
I mean, if you're going to lead, if you're going to try to gloss over the nightmare that has been 2020 across the board for both internal baseball stuff and external baseball stuff, why not lead with the defending champs, two ace pitchers, and the Yankees, right? I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, again, I think I said this back in April, what they should have done is really go for that July 4th opening day, because you can really market the fuck out of it. You can also get somewhat of a half season. You could probably get about 80 games if you start July 4th. I mean, if you have 60 games July 24th, add another 20 July 4th. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have done it, right?
That was the plan.
80 games.
That was the plan. They were
80 games seems a little easier to stomach than 60.
Yep, well, I agree.
With a 60-game season, is that legit?
No. No. I mean,
if the Twins win the World Series, will it really? I mean, yes, it'll be great.
Well, I'm celebrating it. Just as if it's a real season.
But if someone says, "Hey, that's not a real season," can you really disagree with them?
Well, I give Mikey crap about the '95 Braves, and they played what, 12 less games or something? Or
they played 150 games.
Yeah, 150 games. So now imagine me going like, "Oh, this is a legit crowd." I mean, what are you talking about? You know, like imagine anyone
exactly
talking. You lose your right to talk crap about the '95 Braves if you gloat about this one. But I am. If the Twins somehow do this year, I'm going to treat it like it's legit, and I don't care what anyone says about it.
Now, let me ask you a question. I know we're going to go all over the place with this because there's so many things to unpack with this. If a hitter hits 400 over 60 games, is that...
I don't think they can
is that legit?
No, that I will say anything like... The only records really that are possible to break this year would be the 400 in a season. And I don't think they could recognize it because all the counting ones, not possible. Impossible. You're not. If someone hits 20 home runs this season, it's going to be like, that's crazy. I mean, that's like the equivalent of what, 80 home runs basically?
No. If somebody hits 20 home runs in 60 games, that's. Oh, fuck. I can't do the math.
Okay. Well, we're talking. Well, 100. It'd be like 50,
it's probably,
50 or so games would be a third.
It's in the 50s.
Right? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So so essentially 20, 60, so a little over a third, right? So, I mean, we're talking, that's like a 50, a high 50s season. So that is a little, so if someone hits 20, that's a hell of a season, though.
Okay, right? You're right. That is a very good season. Yes, I apologize.
You're a pile of crap. So same thing, if someone had like 60 RBI, that's also incredibly good.
Well, yeah, I mean... That's, 60 RBI, I mean, that comes out to 180, well, no, comes out to 162 RBI season, which is phenomenal.
I mean, has anything, what's the highest RBI in a season? Let's find this out. Crack research
ever
coming up. Yep.
Pretty sure, I think it was Hack Wilson who did like 190.
191, yep. Chicago Cubs, yep. And then Gehrig had 185. Hank Greenberg had 184, Jimmy Fox 175. All like forever ago.
Like,
that is weird.
No, but like Manny, I think Manny had a really good year. Like 99 or 2000, he put up like 150 or something.
You're right, 99, good memory. Manny Ramirez 165 with the Indians in 1999. But notably,
unbelievable.
Everybody else though. So, Hack Wilson 191. That's insane.
Yep.
Like, I think I remember that, but seeing it again...
And that was over 154 games. That wasn't over 162.
In a shorter season, too. So, 19... So
Yeah.
The top 10 are 1930, 1931, 37, 38, 27, 30, 30, 32, 21, 35, 37. So, the odd part is, people say what they want about the steroid era, but there isn't, other than Manny in 99, and then Sammy Sosa, 2001, 160... Everyone else is dead ball era. I mean, and also pre-integration, too.
Yep.
That's crazy to me. Like, you would think for sure, like, Mark McGwire or somebody would have, like, a good, 200 RBI then based on this. But, I mean, that's crazy. You're guaranteed to drive in at least a run every single game That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, holy cow. I remember it now, but still, I don't know if you really truly factor in what that means. That how, what, like getting a hit constantly, or I mean, Jesus. Anyway.
Well, that's another one. So that if somebody has a 60-game hitting streak, that would be impressive. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would break, obviously.
It would break the record.
It would be crazy. I mean, a hit every single game. I mean, that. Yeah. Well, then, you know, you would assume probably they would hit 400 in that case. Then you just say, like, you got a hit in every game. You hit 400 in a shortened season. Yeah, we're going to give it to you. Would you accept that?
Right.
Otherwise, no, right?
I think, you know what? I think that's the only way I could accept saying somebody, like, legit hit 400 in this situation would be if he broke DiMaggio's record.
Yep. No, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, and win 57 games, right? I mean, you'd be like, fuck, that's impressive. Yeah. So, because all the other stuff, like, the only, like, hitting streak and 400 are really the only two hallowed things that would be in play, because on base percentage for a season, it would be the, like, averages would be the only thing possible, like ERA.
Well, and
like
then
that.
for pitchers. For ERA, I mean, you know, you could have somebody like Jack Flaherty last year where he had that phenomenal second half.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And wind up with an ERA just over one.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, crazy.
I mean,
yep.
Because again, 60 games, you're what, maybe 12 starts?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
I mean, DeGrom could go like 8-0 with 4 no decisions and have an ERA of like 1.1.
So do you think, so I think there was obviously some fuckery with the baseball last year. I've heard rumors that they unfuckeried it this year. Now, a lot of pitchers die out in the second half of the season, right? Could you see this being a whole bunch of 1-0, 2-0 games this year?
Yes.
Because you're going to have strong pitchers going in.
I think the pitchers are going to be stronger than the hitters for this scenario. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's also, the flip side, though, is I think sometimes where you see lower numbers in the first half of the season, also because it's cold and it sucks to hit in the cold, it's going to be hot when they start. Right. So,
yep.
Is there going to be a bit of, you know, we're putting our analyst caps on here, but is there going to be a bit of a mitigation between those two pieces of strong pitching out the gate, but warm hitting weather, though?
Well, you're also going to get strong pitching, but I don't know if guys are going to be pushed for like long innings long, you know, pitch counts and things like that. So you could see it maybe the first couple of starts, 4 or 5 innings, not really wanting to tax the starter.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be, I mean, but if there is going to be a season where you could have a pitcher with multiple complete games, this would be the one. I mean, because it's a relatively light bit of work this year for a lot of people, especially with like the shuttle rosters and things like that. There's going to be a lot of
getting
around with the roster.
You know, they always say that baseball is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
Well, now it's a sprint.
It's a sprint, yep.
Every game literally counts. So you could lose maybe 4 or 5 in a row to start the season. Your season's done.
You're in big trouble.
That's it.
Yep.
There's no coming back. So if you're a manager, you're like, you know what? Roll the dice and say, you know what? I'm going to give my ace another inning out there because him at 75% is going to be better than, you know, some jabroni coming in at 100%. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with my ace. Yep.
But what I don't want to see is the postseason style overmanaging of, you know, like taking out the hooking the starter early because he's having a rough time.
Right.
And all that crap that you do of, you know, 3 different relievers, you know, facing 2 batters, all this stuff. Like, that's the type of stuff.
Well, that they're not going to do.
They
can't do that. Remember that.
Yeah, they changed the rules.
Well, they can't because the rule was now it's a 3 batter minimum. Yeah.
But do you want to see that crap, though? My concern is because each game, we're more seeing like a football type of importance of each game but with a 60 game season. Are you going to see a lot more overmanaging like you do in the postseason?
Of course you are. I mean, for some managers, this is like their one shot to actually make the postseason. Because you have some of those teams who really aren't built for a long 162 game season. But if they can catch fire over 60 games, they can get in the playoffs.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some team like
so this is their shot,
like the White Sox, over a full
with
the mix of young players and the veterans they did bring in. I'm nervous about the White Sox. The Indians, I don't think they have the guns to hold up for a whole season, but they have the pitching staff that could do some damage in a 60-game season. If this was, I'm confident in the Twins this year, to go more specifics. I'm confident in the Twins, but that was under – I would be more confident in the full season. I think they have more weapons and they're generally better that would hold truer over a longer time. 60 is a small sample size. Weird things can happen over a third of a season, and it makes me a shade bit nervous.
But with that lineup, though,
I know.
I mean, the chances of everybody being in a slump are slim to none.
I know.
You're just going to fucking outslug everybody.
I hope so. I hope so. That's the one thing we have to hang our hats on, is that. Because we're not getting Michael Pineda back now till September because of his stupid his suspension. So,
right,
what would have been, we'd be getting him back now, roughly. But he still has to serve the games. It would have been July.
Right, yeah.
He still has to serve the games, but now that puts him back in September. So, because,
which could be like an ace in the hole.
I mean, that's the hope. But still, it sucks. We're going to get him for 15 games or something like that is what it's going to end up being. So
it's what, three starts?
Yeah, three starts. Which, no, then maybe he's throwing bullets in the postseason and that's fine. But we got to get there. I mean, the guys have to, you know, things on paper are only good to a point. You have to execute. So this is going to be a weird season for this type of stuff.
I know we're speculating here, but if I'm Rocco, and clearly I am, if I get somebody like Pineda coming back in September, I'm not going to put him in the rotation. I'm going to put him in the bullpen. And I'm going to use him for maybe two or three innings every day.
Like a swing type of thing? Even two?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like bridge to Rogers and May and all those guys.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't mind that. Like, have him like just pump gas every... I'd be fine with that. Give your best stuff for 2 to 3 innings, and we'll pitch you more often.
Exactly.
I wouldn't terribly mind that. I mean, I will see.
Okay.
For postseason, though, I'd like to see him back in the rotation, though, because I'd rather have him for, you know, a game or two. Because
that's different, though. This is just to get to the postseason.
Because I can, especially like with a team like the Rays, who already do weird stuff to begin with. This season fits in well with how they do things, because they can go, you can go nuts. Like, when a 60 game, you can go, they can put all their nerds onto this thing, come up with all sorts of different possibilities. Like, this is the type of season where you can really get experimental, because ultimately you can say, like, who gives a shit anyway? Like, and if it didn't work out, it doesn't work out, because it's 60 games. It's going to go quick. It's going to fly by. So why not try some experimental shit this year, especially with the rules, which we have, like, runner at second in the 10th inning for, you know, and from in extra innings, runner at second to start. There's going to be a lot of weird shit that's going on this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starting with, I think for me, as a purist, and I know you are too, for different reasons.
we can't go there. We can't go there anymore.
For these 60 games, the National League is using the DH.
Yep, universal DH, yep.
That's amazing. Yep. Now, they're not going to do it, or they might not do it next year, but I think that's really the only way that they can go after this. I mean, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Just make it universal, and just that'll be that.
Yep.
With the interesting thing about the National League using the DH, now that the Mets have a secret weapon, you can have Cespedes as your DH. You can have Cano as your DH.
Did they sign Cespedes?
They have a lot of...
I thought he was...
They still have him.
Okay, so this is the thought of, then they could, technically, in theory.
They could, if he's healthy. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He hasn't played since 2017.
No.
But but if he's healthy, yeah, he's perfect for the DH.
Yep. Okay. Well, because it's Puig is the... Okay, yeah, Puig is also...
Puig is the free agent.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, okay. And if I'm a team... Yep. Like maybe the Giants, or I don't know, whatever.
Why not the Mets?
Yeah, I'll take it. They already have enough DHs. They don't need another
one. They don't need another head case DH, basically, is what you're saying.
Exactly. But like the Giants could use a guy like Puig. I think that'd be a pretty good move. The
Giants are going to be terrible this
year. Why not?
They're going to be bad.
They're going to be terrible. Yeah. But if they sign Puig and he gets off to a decent start, you trade him at the deadline, whenever that is.
Yeah, I mean, how's that going to... That's another question. So we can get into more. Let's get into some... Let's roll that... Let's use that to get into some specifics.
Sure.
So we know the 60-game season consists of 40 versus your own division, so 10 games against each team in your division, and then 20 against the national, or the opposite league, same directional. So AL East versus NL East. So what, you know, four games against each team there too. So is that going to be 2-2 or is that 4-1 or the other?
I have no idea. I would imagine 2-2.
It would have to be because like otherwise you'd about have like home, equal home away, right? Yeah. So it'd have to be 2-2.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But doing 2-2 gets jacked up with the travel, and they're trying to eliminate travel as much as possible. You'd almost have to guarantee that, let's say the Twins were playing the Cubs for two games in Chicago, then they go right down the road to, you know, guaranteed rate field for four or something, you know, like that. Like, what a dumb name for
it.
A
needs to make It needs to make sense from a travel perspective. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's what the two game series because, seems, you know, stupid to me then in that context, you know.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of faith in the guys who make the schedule.
Yeah.
Because even for 162 games, they still fuck it up. I can't even imagine what they're going to do for 60.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. So if you think like the teams in the West, both Wests, especially the AL West, are jacked because you got the teams in California have to go to Texas. I mean, shit, isn't
Texas?
I mean, Houston. They got to go to Houston.
That's the 2-hour time difference.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
So you're talking going to Houston for what? You know, like Arizona's talking about. You listened to local talk, and they were saying they got to go to Seattle, they got to go to Texas twice. I mean, they're going all over the place. They're staying on the general western half of the country, but the West is all spread out compared to the teams in the Midwest and out East. I mean, it's a pretty tight cluster for all of those teams. Like, I mean, the furthest
furthest the Mets are going to go is Florida.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which is not that bad.
I mean, all people from New York.
At the very least, it's in the same time zone.
Yeah, right. Well,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. The Del Boca Vista.
That's right.
So that's normal, but like, the Central is comparatively incredibly lucky. I mean, you're not going far at all. You're going between Minnesota, Missouri to Western Pennsylvania. I mean, it's just not. I mean, it's a very tight, compact thing, and I really like it a lot. So. We're going to be comparatively pretty lucky with light travel where, you know, even having to go fly a couple hours south to go to Jeterland, that's going to kind of suck a bit.
Right.
I mean, it's not terrible, but you're going to have to go twice. You're going to have to play Tampa at least for two games down there maybe. So,
well, that's the thing. So they need to schedule the Miami and Tampa games like back to back.
That's the only way that makes sense. But again, is it all four there? And then, but then if you did all four, one place or the other, then your interdivision, you're going to have uneven home away with interdivision games then. I mean, there's got to be some give and take there because you have five different things. So two of the teams you're going to have, so you got to make up four home games out of there somehow. And then interdivision, I'd be pissed then. But the two game travel doesn't make any, a two game series in a pandemic with trying to limit travel makes no goddamn sense. You'd have to put it together.
Right. Wouldn't it make sense to play them all at once?
Exactly, yeah. So, but...
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
We're lucky because if we did Chicago, boom, you can knock two out. And even if it was St. Louis, Kansas City, it's not the end of the world. You're going across the state. It's not that big. But, I mean, what if you were Texas? I mean, going between... the Metroplex to Houston, that's a flight. You have to fly there again, you know, like
it is.
Are you putting that how are you putting that together? And then, I mean, Colorado's in the middle of nowhere basically. I mean, are you lumping that in with Arizona? I mean, that's a 2-hour flight.
And California.
Yeah, California. Oh, it's way spread out. You're not driving in between there. They're all a good 2-hour flight between San Diego and San Diego to LA is an hour flight at most, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it might even be less than that.
But still, it's a flight. Same thing with going up to the Bay. You know, you can hit those two teams together, but, you know, how are you doing it in conjunction? And then Seattle is way the hell up there. So the West Coast teams are definitely at a disadvantage comparatively to the other, I think, compared to the other two divisions.
All right. Now, do you want to do some more rules or do you want to do predictions? What do you want to do?
Do some rules, yeah. What else? So we got all Universal right. DH.
So we got, okay. Wait, so Universal DH, we got the man on second. Okay, this is fun. So, unsportsmanlike conduct. So I'm reading this right from MLB. Players and managers will be expected to maintain physical distance from all umpires and opposing players on the playing field whenever possible.
Okay.
Players or managers who leave their position to argue with umpires come within 6 feet of an umpire or opposing player or manager for the purpose of argument or engage in an altercation on the field will be subject to immediate ejection and discipline, including a fine and suspension.
Awesome. I like it. So you're going to have a lot of, like, audible cuss words because they're going to be 10 feet away telling them they're a fucking idiot, basically. And you're going to hear it all.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Because I think some of the arguments are muffled because they're so close to each other. Now, like those little...
Well, they're muffled, then you got the ambient noise, you got crowd noise, whatever. Now there's nothing.
Nothing. Well, okay, this is what I wonder, too, is the Premier League and the Bundesliga are back. And after the first weekend of the...
We're talking about sports here. Yeah. Can you not bring up soccer?
I brought up the Bundesliga. So I thought you were going to make a German
joke. I don't know what that is. Yeah.
That's the German professional soccer league. But anyway, so...
Okay.
Yeah. The Bundesliga.
Yeah, great.
So I watched the first weekend, and there's no fans in the stands, and it was beyond creepy. It was bothersome. I was like, oh god, this is all gonna suck. The second weekend they started piping in noise. It wasn't, they didn't put noise in the stadium, but they did an overlay on the TV signal, and there was sound, and it made it 1,000 times better. So I wonder if they're going
to
have
Did they have to pump in the racist chants and whatnot?
Exactly. Or is that... Yes, correct. They were talking.
Okay.
They were talking about the Juden a lot and things like that. So, no racist chants. They're not. Soccer leads.
Oh, soccer, yes, I'm leads sorry. The soccer way is by such a lovely
about
sport.
Fighting racism compared to other. So save your nonsense.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's the most popular sport in the world. Okay. Every single country plays it. Yeah. By far.
Really?
Okay. You don't like soccer? Fine.
No. It is the most. No. It is the most popular sport in the world.
By far.
It's also the most horrifically racist.
Uncertain.
Come on.
Certain,
with all the bananas thrown around and shit. Come on now.
That's a minority of. Of fans. Anyway, they started piping in crowd noise, and it made me feel better. Like, it made it better. Could you see MLB piping in a little bit of, like, chatter that you typically hear in the background?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
To make it more palatable, because I've watched some of the
kind
of
like what they did, kind of like what they did in Bull Durham, where they would play like the crowd going wild.
Yep, yeah. Because have you watched any of the KBO on ESPN?
No,
I have.
No,
and it's been odd. Like, but there's some of the teams pipe in noise and like the chant because they do more chant like soccer style chants in the KBO. It has made it like I remember watching like the first game that it was on, and it was bizarre. Like with no sound or anything like that. Like I remember watching that the Orioles game a couple years ago where they had to play it behind closed door because of the riots and things going on about the Freddie Gray situation, and that was super weird watching that. And that's going to be reality this whole season. So I wonder if they're going to take those lessons learned from the European soccer leagues and do something like that. You know, pipe in a little bit of noise and stuff. So then maybe it will be muffled over the umpire arguments.
Maybe, either that or they're gonna have their fingers like hovering over the dump button, like just in case.
You're a fucking idiot, like because there's some weird, there's some terrible things that are said back and forth between mostly the manager to the umpire. So, awful things I've seen typed out. So is that going over? I mean, yeah, there'd have to be a dump or something because it's all gonna be audible, and the players talk shit to each other on the field too.
Of course.
That's all going to be audible if they don't have something going on. Because that sort of low mum, the low hum that's going on in the background all the time of all the various conversations going on in the stadium is all gone. So, you're going to hear a lot of chatter if they don't. So I'd almost bet that they're going to have to do something to break it up,
All right. So I'm going to give you some more rules.
Yep.
And I'll tie them in with COVID-19. Yep. Players, coaches, and support staff will be tested for COVID-19 every other day during spring training, the regular season, and the postseason. Players will receive temperature checks twice per day.
Okay.
Antibody testing will be conducted once per month.
That one's dumb, but okay.
That is dumb. I would think they would want to do that
more often.
More?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At least once a week?
Mm-hmm. What's the... Are they... Would that be like they're thinking they had a silent infection where they're not even... You know what I mean? Like...
I have no idea.
If you're doing the COVID tests, why would you... Well, I suppose, once a month, I suppose, makes sense then. But that would be only if they had a silent infection type of thing. And that opens up a whole other can of worms anyway.
Social distancing will be encouraged as much as possible, both on the field and off. Players and other team personnel not participating in the game will be sitting in the stands at least 6 feet apart.
Okay. Yep, I heard about that. They're going to be in those first few rows above the dugout. So,
non-playing personnel must wear masks in the dugout and bullpen at all times. No pregame exchange of lineup cards. No celebratory contact, including high fives, fist bumps, or hugs. Mm-hmm. No spitting or chewing of tobacco and or sunflower seeds. But chewing gum is allowed.
Okay. The sunflower seed spitting is like a sport between the guys in the bullpen. What are they going to do?
Exactly.
I've seen them try to do distant stuff with pumpkin seeds, too. They try to do. So this is...
A ball will be thrown out once it has been touched by multiple players.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Well, think about pitchers.
And the last one is...
Going to their mouth and touching the ball, right?
Let's see. There's a rule for that, too. It's called the wet rag. Pitchers will be allowed to carry a small wet rag in their back pocket to be used for moisture in lieu of licking their fingers.
Okay, yep.
Pitchers will not be able to access the rag while on the rubber. Hey, that sounds dirty. They must clearly wipe the fingers of their pitching hand dry before touching the ball or the rubber.
Ugh.
Water is the only substance that will be allowed on the rag.
What's his name from Major League? Could you see that rag
Eddie Harris
covered in like
all sorts of shit? Oh my god. Yes. Yup.
I mean, there are some guys like Phil Negro I could see having all so that rag doctor. It's just all water there, Blue. What are you talking about? This ain't
No, that's lube for after the game. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a different rag that you found. This has not been with me all game.
It's a little crunchy. Good luck trying to fold it.
Oh, man. I mean, imagine like some of the older school pitchers, the amount of fuckery that's going to go on with these like wet rags. I mean, this is...
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. Okay, I was always wondered about the... I didn't look into some of these specifics yet, so that... Makes sense, because I'm like, this pitchers lick their fingers and touch the ball all the time. Like, how is this going to, you know, like, that is obviously, if someone was positive, I mean, that's spreading it all. Well, no, okay, but there's also been data that there's elements of the virus on surfaces, but for a long time, but it's not anything that can spread it. So, I mean, a little bit of that rolling around on the grass and everywhere else isn't going to, you know, it's not going to spread. So.
Yep.
And these players are all, if they're playing,
again,
they're all allegedly healthy too, right? So
Well, they're all healthy guys of a certain age. Like their immune system is pretty good.
Like they've been tested multiple times, they don't have COVID at that point, right?
Yeah. Look, here's a question: would Lou Gehrig be allowed to play?
No, God. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's the one to bring. Yeah, yeah. Like, absolutely not. Like, I mean, anybody who's had, like, issues like that. Yeah, nope. Gone. See ya. Sit down.
Right. So, somebody, like, the guy in the Pirates, Jameson Taillon, the guy who had cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think he's allowed to play?
Well, there's a guy in the Twins, too. Schmelzer. Yeah, he also, cancer survivor, too. Like, is he?
Yeah. I mean, so, their immune systems aren't that, I mean, they're obviously great, but they're not that great. Yep.
No, that I would. That's up to them. And I think if there were, I think if there's any players that don't have those type of things or didn't have some sort of family issue, and they still decided to opt out, I don't think you should get paid then. But for people like that that have like true like issues either with themselves or with a family member where it's put too much at risk, then I think they should get paid. You know, kind of like a family medical leave type of thing. So, I mean, how can really? Any of these players, if they don't want to play, don't play then. I mean, just like if we're saying there's a lot of choice involved and like, you know, accepting and knowing risks and going through things, that should be part and parcel with it. Unless you do have a true like issue that it just doesn't, it's not worth the risk, even if you are seemingly
healthy. Well, let me ask you a question though. So if you're not, if you're asymptomatic, you're in relatively great health, you just don't want to play because of the fear of it. Is that reason enough for the team not to pay you? Like, you don't have a legit reason. You just don't want to play.
I think so. You have a contract, and they've put all these things into place, and they've probably consulted experts and doctors and determined that it's safe to go forward. You know, if you don't have any sort of things that, you know, would explain you, give you a reason to not play, and you still don't want to, I think you're taking that, like, saying you shouldn't get paid then. Just you're not honoring your end of the contract. There's two parts of the contract. It's the team right. paying you for performance, and if you're not doing it for, you know, some reason that you've determined on your own, then I personally don't think you should.
Right.
Right?
That makes sense.
Do you agree with that?
I'm very big on honoring contracts and things like that.
Well, yeah, of course.
But when you talk about when you talk about public health, I don't know if you can demand somebody to honor their end of the contract if they're not 100% feeling okay with it. But then again, for me, that just goes back to there's risk in everything.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you could get killed in a car wreck on the way to the stadium. Mm-hmm. You have no idea.
Yep. Or in a boat with your friends, you know? So.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's too soon. So.
Well, are we talking about Jose Fernandez or Tim Cruz and Steve Olin?
I mean, there's a couple. We go back 30 years or go back a couple years. There's a few.
Yeah. The statute of limitations is expired for the Indians. I think you can make that joke now.
I forgot about that.
Is it for Jose Fernandez?
I forgot about
that. Because fuck him.
Who's the guy that survived that and still pitched for a few years after that?
Bob Ojeda.
That's right. Bob Ojeda. That's right. Yeah. There we go.
Okay. Former Met great.
Former Met great. Yep. That was like in 90 or 91, right?
Nah, 92, 93, I think.
Ojeda boat crash accident.
You got, I mean,
I'm searching
the details
I'm
from
Googling
that crash.
Bob Ojeda boat accident. 93.
So bad.
93. Ojeda was the lone survivor of a March 22nd, 1993 boating accident that killed fellow Cleveland Indians players Steve Olin and Tim Cruz. So, 93.
Let me just say. They were standing up and they were near a dock and they were going very fast.
Yep.
That's all I have to say.
That's right. Yep. Just like other people. Yep.
All right. The last part of the show. We got predictions here. Who you got?
Oh, okay. It's a crapshoot. So, but if it was like a 40-game season... I mean, would there be a point to do predictions? Because 40 games is so, you know, teams hang around for a month all the time. You're getting into 2 months.
Yep.
It still is a bit of a crapshoot. So I think the division, Yankees, Twins, and Astros, sure, I get it, fine. It's lame, but yeah. I could easily see there being two odd wild cards this year. So I don't know. The White Sox probably won. And then...
that's a good one.
Who else? The A's, maybe? No, the Rays. Sorry. Rays and White Sox.
The Rays.
Yeah, Rays and White Sox for sure. NL.
Okay.
Jesus. The Dodgers, of course.
Yep.
You know, like, if the Mets get enough pitching, I wouldn't be surprised to see them get a wild card, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the Diamondbacks getting a wild card. Like, they have a strong, very strong, like, pitching and hitting that they could easily hang around for 60 games. So, the Central, I have no idea. I mean, all those teams are flawed in various ways. I don't have a clue. The Brewers don't have enough pitching, but they have the offense. The Cardinals have the pitching, but no offense. It's just, and the Cubs are... I don't know. They sold their soul for that one World Series, and I don't know what the hell they're doing.
The Cubs are done. They had their window. They're done.
Yeah. They're aging. And
can we say that? Is that okay?
Yeah. I hope so, at least. In the East, who knows there? I mean, between the Nats and Phillies and your squad, and I don't know.
Yep.
I mean, but you have an epically terrible team in Florida, so the NL, I don't know. I mean, I think the NL is a bit more of a crapshoot than the AL is. Maybe that's mm-hmm. my read on it. I don't know. What do you think? And I mean, I can't even begin to predict a World Series. I'll go full Homer. Twins, Dodgers. Screw it. There we go. So,
Jesus Christ.
Doing it.
Rematch of 1965.
65.
65. 65.
Sandy Koufax whooped our ass. that World Series.
That's too. Right. 9%. 9%, baby.
It went 7 games.
Yeah.
Koufax, I think, won 2 or 3 of the games. It's crazy. Yeah, just yep. destroyed.
What did he pitch? Games 1, 4, and 7?
Yep.
That's a fucking man. That's a man that's
right
macho
there.
That's
right
a
there.
That's a
man right there. Yep.
So. Yep. Yankees in the East, Twins in the Central, obviously the Astros in the West. My two wild cards are going to be Tampa Bay, and I really like your White Sox prediction. I'll go with that.
Okay, thank you.
In the National League, god damn, this is tough. I'll just start in the West because it's easy. Dodgers, obviously. Central, I'll go with the Cardinals, I guess.
It's hard. They have no offense, though.
They're all, like you said, they're all flawed, but they're the least flawed of all the flawed teams.
They have the best pitcher. I think that goes a long way in this, and they have a good bullpen. So, but they have no offense, though. They lost their arguably one of their best offensive players, and Goldschmidt is on the way down. So, I mean,
The Mets will win the East, and my two wild cards are Atlanta and Washington.
So you do think the Mets are going to... I half forgot about the Braves. That's right. They're going to be really good, too.
Yeah.
Damn. That's tough.
I just give me those three teams. Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's going to win it. Yep. I was hoping it's the Mets, but you know what? I'll take one winner and then two wild cards.
Yeah, but you don't have Syndergaard this year. Where are you getting your pitching from?
So what? DeGrom.
And who else?
DeGrom, Stroman, Steven Matz.
Blake Wheeler. Oh, no, not Wheeler.
Rick Porcello, your boy Waka.
Oh, is he on the Mets now?
Yeah.
Oh, when did that happen?
Off season.
Okay, all right. Because he wasn't last year, right? Yeah, it was okay. So
No. Yeah. It was in the off season.
Wow.
I think they can definitely out-hit any other team in that division.
Correct, yeah, I think so. Yep. Well, the Braves are pretty good.
The Braves are pretty good. Yeah. I'm not totally sold on them yet.
Pretty good.
Especially for 60 games. I mean, maybe the Mets catch fire. I don't know.
The thing is, the Braves are such a young team, and young teams can be mercurial, especially on an odd season like this. So is that where the Mets seem to be? Well, the Mets got some young guys, too, though. So
they got Alonso and McNeil. Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, I don't know. So I think what in a short season like this, like you look at in the postseason, who's got, like, the best starting rotation, like, the best players? And who can, and like the depth. That's why I'm saying, like, the Twins don't have the best pitching, clearly, but that lineup is stacked.
You don't need it, though. That lineup is so good.
They're not.
You can win games 8-7.
You're going
to
have that lineup top to bottom is incredibly deep. We're talking like Mitch Garver, maybe batting 8th, and he had, in limited role, he had like 25 home runs last year. So, I mean, you're talking when you're going that deep now with the addition of the bringer of rain. I mean, offensively, they're going to crush everyone because you're not going to shut everyone down.
Well, that's the thing. Time. And with the Twins, if you're not beating them by maybe the 4th inning or the 5th inning, they're going to get you because their relief pitching is very good.
Yes, correct. Yep. We at least.
I'll take that bullpen over anyone else in that division. Yep.
We have we added some pieces to the bullpen, and we have. So that's why. It's a homer pick. I'm not going to deny that. But there is some science behind the homer pick, too. I could point to some things that you're not going to shut down that offense, maybe a game or two, but over...
No, look, I took them, too. Look, they won 100 games last year, and they added Donaldson. I'm sorry. That's a very good team.
And they didn't lose any pitchers. There's nobody of note they lost, period. I mean, they have everybody coming.
Right.
And they're going to have a late-season addition in their best pitcher last year. I mean, that stands for something. So... I think they'll be fine. But it's just the 60-game thing is so fluky. Like, anything can happen. Like, let's say Nelson Cruz and Donaldson come up COVID positive and they're down for 2 weeks. Then you're fucked. I mean, you're back at 45 games. Okay, now what? So that's the problem. Like, this whole thing, even if they're asymptomatic and they're not in bad shape, they still have to – they're down for 2 weeks with that thing. So that this is the whole thing about
the Twins are so deep, though, that they're not relying on just two guys.
No, true.
That's the one thing you have going for you.
No, I do agree with that, but it still makes you nervous if there is a key thing. What if Berrios comes out? What if DeGrom goes? You know what I mean? Like,
If DeGrom gets hurt or if he tests positive or whatever and they shut him down, season's over. Yep,
exactly. That's my fear is like you can if make they these
lose,
predictions.
If they lose two out of three, if they lose like a two out of three series to the Marlins, season's over.
you're really giving it up like that.
No, seriously. They have to basically run the table against the Marlins and like the Orioles.
Yes.
I might even say the Blue Jays. Uh-huh. Like those are the teams you have to... You can lose maybe one game among all three of those. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you got to run the table.
Yeah, if you handle your business against the Marlins, Blue Jays, and Orioles, that's 18 wins right there. That's 18 possible games you can get.
Yep, and you just play over 500 against the other teams. I think you're in good shape. Yep.
You're over halfway to 500 at that point. So at least 500. So yep. Yeah, I agree. You have to. The Twins have to make hay against the Tigers and the Royals. I mean, having 20 games against those two teams is awesome. Like, I will gladly take that. Like, those teams are going to be bad, and I'll take my chances against the White Sox. That we're in their heads, we own them. I'm not concerned about them, even with their little.
Wouldn't it suck though to miss the playoffs if you're a Twins fan if you get knocked out by the Cubs?
Oh, God, oh, it would be miserable. Oh, <darn it. laughs> yeah, like, but that's the only caveat with this whole thing is that injuries are one thing, but. You could have a player be asymptomatically go positive and they're down for 2 weeks. So there's this whole other level of concern, and that could totally change the complexion of everything where you could have like the White Sox screw around and win the division or something because they got hot and you know the Indians lost half their starting pitching staff to like a COVID positivity and they're out for 2 weeks. That's the type of thing that concerns me. The Yankees, I think they're deep enough, they have good enough pitching that they don't have a concern with that either necessarily. But the Rays are not any slouch where if the Yankees did have something like that, the Rays could easily, they have enough depth too across the board where they could, you know, also fluke their way into a hot 60-game stretch and win the division too. It's not enough, obviously, to not do the season, but it is enough to mess with your predictions. The game's not enough where the cream rises to the top. The season's not long enough where the cream is automatically going to rise to the top. 60 games is a small sample size. We see it all the time. How many people have amazing first halves of the season and then bat 190 the rest of the year and they're nothing, you know, where you forget, like, oh, my God, they're crushing everything, you know?
Or vice versa, like they're absolutely cold April and May, and then they just really heat up in June, and then just they're on a tear. So, that's like you said, just it's going to be fluky, and you have no idea what's going to happen.
I mean, think about how many teams start off hot in April and May, and then by All-Star break, they're in fourth place already. That could So this is it's all over the map, and if it was 162 games, you'd probably see these things with no COVID. And 162 games, these things that we're led to believe you'd probably, you know, would have probably happened. But, I mean, maybe the Indians could easily also win the Central, for instance. The Reds made some key additions. The Reds could win the division in the Central if they got stayed hot.
I mean, that division is so the division is so bad that, yes, the Reds could win that. Yeah. I think the only team that you absolutely say will not win that division would be Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's done. But any of those other four teams could easily win the NL Central.
Yeah, why not?
That's why I'm not even making an attempt to guess because it's one of those four, and I think you throw it up in the air, and any one of those four could win it.
Yep. So,
the West is a lot straight up. Even the East, there's three teams for sure that could easily win that division, I think. Three teams.
No, they could. Yeah. They absolutely could.
I mean, the Mets could finish fourth.
They could.
How does that feel?
The Phillies could.
Yeah, right.
It feels terrible, especially if the Phillies finish ahead of them because of Girardi, who Mets should have fucking hired back in October.
Exactly. I mean, there's four teams that have a shout in the NL East too, I would say.
But I mean, of those four, I think the top three are going to be Atlanta, Washington, and the Mets.
So you think that the Phillies are a step down, even with Harper and their pitching staff?
Can I say Bryce Harper is overrated? Is that okay to say?
He's terribly overrated.
He's all substance and or he's all style and no substance.
He's all sizzle and no steak.
He's all sizzle and no steak. Right. Yes, that's what he is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He had one great year, maybe one good year, and then everything else he's hitting like 220, 30 home runs and 80 RBI. Sorry, I'm not impressed.
I agree. He's got that great flow, though. He's got the nice salad there, as they say in the hockey community, right? And it's true. It does. He does. He's got. Could you see that underneath a hockey helmet there? Like it just flowing out.
Of course, yeah, I could. Like, but Bryce Harper is also not a winning player. He spent how many years in Washington, and they couldn't even get out of the first round. He signs with the Phillies, and what do? They won the World Series.
The World Series in the weirdest ass World Series ever, where the home team didn't win a damn game. God.
Yep.
Yeah, and the weirdest World, like the most underwhelming World Series champion I can recall personally. I'm just
When Howie Kendrick is the.
Yeah.
Is the hero of Game 7? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird.
I don't know how they won still. I sometimes forget. I'm like, who won the World Series last year? Usually you're like, oh yeah, of course it was them. But last year, this past one, I'm like, oh yeah, the Nats won. How the hell did that happen? Oh yeah, they got hot at the right time and they rode their pitching to there. I mean, that's it. They got lucky. That's what it comes down to. But I'd rather be lucky and have a ring than not.
Yeah, exactly.
So... Well, it'll be fine. It'll be interesting. This will be, and I hope we never have a season like this again. I mean, for a variety of reasons, for the COVID stuff. I do think that this is the whole horse crap that went on between the players and the owners leading up to this, that we're almost certainly guaranteed to see a strike.
It's absolutely happening next year or the year after, whenever the CBA expires.
It's after 2021. It's totally happening. It's like... 2022 is not happening at this point, I think. I mean, if they can't get on the same page with this, then, I mean, how are they going to get on it when things are hopefully better?
Right, and we're not talking about negotiating for 60 games, but we're talking about negotiating for, you know, 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. down the line. And, you know, the revenue that's coming from the new deal that they signed with TBS and things like that. And service time and all the other things that they love to argue about. They couldn't even fucking come together for 60 to 70 to 80 games for this year.
Yeah. And
like, this was like pulling teeth.
So we better enjoy this one. And next year is going to be odd too. I mean, there ain't no way it's going to be 162 next year. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. There's no way. Because this winter is going to be not good. I think it's going to be a bad winter because everybody in the cold climate is going to be going inside and this thing's going to pass around. And there'll be certainly going to be a delay to the season unless one of those bandied about vaccines is ready this December, like, or December, January, like Fauci, you know, says it's possible. That's the only way. And if the vaccine shows it's working, that's the only way we're having a regular baseball season. I know the other hockey and basketball is going to be totally different next year too, because with everything going later, they're getting bumped back. So baseball has a slight possibility, if things go well, of having a normal next year, but I'm not holding out for that. I think we could easily be looking at 150, 140 game season next year, with maybe fans later half, depending on what happens. But so these next 2 years, we better get used to weird stuff, but hopefully we never see a 60 game season again. This is crazy. It's just nuts.
I do wonder if they're going to collective bargain for maybe a shorter season
next year. Or just generally, like,
just in general.
Because maybe, what if everybody likes the sprint more, like, if it's just more exciting and they like, I mean, I can't see the owners being, like, giving, you know, willingly giving up 100 games, but what if it, like, ratings and everything is through the roof and they're like, this is better. It's a better product to do a shorter season, right?
Right. Yeah. But the owners would give up the revenue from those, 12 home games that they wouldn't have, or not just home games, but just 12 games. Yep. Someone's losing that revenue. Mm-hmm. Players wouldn't get revenue because they're not getting paid for putting up numbers over 162 games. They're getting it over 150, and your stats aren't going to look as good.
But they have contracts that they signed years ago. I mean, this is the thing. Like, it's opening a whole ball of wax that are they going to get resolved? They couldn't get something resolved on already coming to an agreement in March. This is like a whole new contract they're writing up, basically. They're going to have to start working on it now because they're so far off on all things. Like, the owners are scumbags and the players are whiny. I mean, frankly, like, no one gives a rat's ass about either party here, and here we are. So it's going to be odd, to say the least. And I'm not confident in... especially if they have to bargain about next year, because if things get started later or differently, I mean, how are they even going to get on the same page for next year, much less 2022 and onward, because of the money situation. Right. They're so far apart
exactly
on money and the owners just don't have like a moral bone in their body as far as like not being greedy and things, like, because they view it as an investment and not a sport anymore. And I don't think that's going away anytime soon. So, but the players are rightfully out for themselves. They're getting paid. I mean, because otherwise we'd be talking about salary caps and things like that and salary floors. But the players don't want to hear that. So that's I think 2022 is doomed, and then baseball can just wither and die, frankly, if that's what happens. I mean, because it's pathetic. I love this sport, but what has happened in the lead up to this season and probably what's going to happen to 2022 is pathetic. Like, it's the type of thing that even I'm like, I'm not interested in.
Well, we're in the end of June, and it hasn't really felt like I've missed baseball.
I haven't. Yeah, I haven't. A little.
It's weird. And I absolutely love it. It's my absolute favorite sport. I love it to death. I've loved it for a very long time. But if it doesn't come back this year and it looked like it wasn't going to, I would not have been that upset.
A little bit. I mean, I really do like baseball.
But at the end of the day, it's like, if we're going to really have millionaires arguing with billionaires while 40 million Americans are out of work, sorry. I don't feel your cause here. I don't get it. I'm not down with it.
Yep. Nope. I agree. Yeah. They
got bigger issues here.
They got to read the room better. And I understand, like, right. They felt they were had a point, and I get that. But you got to read the room a little bit, both sides. I mean, but the owners won't move off of their there's no desire to. And what they've forgotten, I know the players talk about what they have. What both sides have forgotten, that all of this is possible. I know they point to TV money. But where's the TV money coming from?
Because who's watching the TV?
People are watching.
Who's watching
the TV?
We are.
Like, we are. Who's paying for the shirts? Who's paying for the jerseys? Who's paying for the tickets? Us. Like, right. They're not. They don't even. They're seeing the money, but they've completely lost their damn mind. Is where the money ultimately is coming from? Like, sure, TV is paying. Like, this season is all. The only money that's coming in is from TV money. But the TV only means something because people are watching it. That's why.
Right, so that the TV channels can charge the advertisers a lot of money for their content. Yep. If no one's watching it, you're not going to get paid.
So that's the whole stupid part about it, is that there's been no point was there like, what do the fans want? They've all been talking about money, and they've absolutely forgotten where the money comes from. It's just no different than how the government talks about, you know, how they divvy stuff out, too. It's all of our money. Like, and they forget they work for, the government works for us. I mean, this is no different, is that... just no one ultimately cares about, and how the issue, to tie it back to what we talked about at the start, why we're in the situation we're in is because no one gives a shit about anybody else. It's we have the most selfish piece of shit people on the planet are all in this country, and this is why we're not having the July 4th opening day when we were supposed to. I saw from multiple sources, including a former player, a former Twin, who well placed sources that said June 1st was supposed to be start of training camp, the new training camp, July 4th, opening day. Saw that. Like, a lot of other people that say same thing, but because they couldn't come into
it. I fucking said that in April. It would have made them so much sense, and you could market the hell out of it. It would have been brilliant.
Yep, it would have been great. And we're in the situation we're in across the board, both this season and just with our handling of this, because we suck as a society. We're a terrible society, and we get exactly what we deserve because of years of not giving a shit, only giving a shit about ourselves and not our general man.
Well, that's the thing. Baseball is pretty much a microcosm of society.
Yeah, always has been. Yep, always has been. I mean, James Earl Jones, you know, had the famous quote in Field of Dreams, and it's true. So, and now look at it. So they're, you know, billionaires whining to millionaires and vice versa, and we're all sitting here like, you know, what do you want from me? Play the damn game. So,
It's like, my buddy got furloughed. I don't think he gives a shit about you.
Exactly.
You're not getting all the perks you want for your contract. Sorry.
Exactly. I don't give a rat's ass. And so, like, the player's taking things to Twitter. Like, I don't care. I like Trevor Bauer. I love his Twitter. Like, he's very honest about, like, he's done breakdowns of pitching and stuff like that. I appreciate, like, the view of a professional into his craft. You don't usually get to see that, and you certainly didn't get to see that 20, 30 years ago before Twitter. But then he also took time to whine all the time about, oh, this and that and everything. I was like, dude, save it. No one gives a shit. about that. Exactly. I think you guys are in a better spot, like, argument-wise than the owners are, but we're ultimately, we don't, like, listen, you're not going to get any sympathy from the average working American making $60,000 to $70,000 a year at best versus, you know, minimum pay of $400,000 a year. And just because it's prorated, you're still getting $100,000 at least for a 60-game season. No one gives a shit about, and plus your per diem that you get all the time and free travel and everything
exactly.
else.
And, yeah, exactly.
No one gives a fuck. Just play. Yep.
You live like a fucking king.
Yep, exactly.
Exactly.
Comparative.
Sorry, you can't get everything that you wanted.
You're going to get the minimum that people will get is what, like a couple $100,000? For the lowest paid players, they're going to get $200,000 for about 3 months of work. Get the fuck out of it. Like, no one is interested in hearing your wife.
Well, that's the thing. Yep. If you're the lowest paid player, you're not even working. You're going to be in the stands watching the game because you're not going to be in the game. Yep.
Yeah, if you're on that shuttle squad, you're making minimum, which is probably, what, little less than half of that. So $100,000+ for a couple of months. Yep. I'll gladly. I will switch places with you to sit in the stands and get paid $130,000.
Sure.
Gladly.
Absolutely.
So then this is that have some. But now it's like it wasn't every player. And there's a lot of players that I've heard through the grapevine because they didn't want a, you know, unified front. But they're like, this is ridiculous. Just, you know, play. We don't want to hear your whining. Just shut up. Behind the scenes, talk to the owners, do what you need to do, and come to the thing. And I'm just, if something happens in 2022, I don't know if I'd come back. Even me, like, we're the diehards. You got to play to us. Like, we're the ones that they need to woo. We're that, you know, 30-40 range that we're going to tell our kids about. Like, Frank, I watch a ton of soccer. There's other sports to watch. I don't need to watch baseball. My kids don't even give a shit about baseball. They like The Floor is Lava on Netflix. They don't give a fuck about baseball.
That's what they need to be worried about. Not us, because we're going to come back. Yep. We always do. Mm-hmm. But how do you get the younger crowd to watch your product?
Yep. And they don't care. Because, like, when we were kids, stuff was on a schedule. My kids, they see commercials and they don't get it. Like, you know, like, we'll watch regular TV and they're like, can we fast? No, this is how it used to be. There's no fast forwarding. Like, you just got to wait. Like, they don't get it because they watch everything on Netflix and Disney Plus.
Right.
And it just, they don't understand that type of, like, appointment viewing. They're used to on-demand things happening when they want. So, now you're going to tell these kids who watch a bunch of YouTube videos of people playing video games that sit down and watch some baseball, this horrifically boring sport for kids, and we need you to view it. And you're like, but if you're not even going to play, they have nothing to see. So you have to sell to them. And my kids have no interest in baseball. And I loved baseball. My oldest son is 8, almost 9. I loved baseball. I was coming near the Twins' first World Series when I was 10. Second World Series victory when I was 10. I love it. I told you, I watched the Twins all the time. In 1990, they were terrible when I was 9 years old. They were awful. They were one of the worst teams in baseball. But, you know, saw the season and everything. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't understand the game still. So,
right.
And that's what they're concerned. So, but they don't have that in their mind whatsoever. They don't care. And that's the sad part about it. They're so worried about the money that they're forgetting about where the money's coming from and what they should do. And so I think, like, with this, with everything else, it's, as you said, it's a microcosm of where we're at as a society. And there's no getting better whatsoever. Like, it's just, I think we're past the point of no return for a lot of this stuff. And I know that's a pessimistic take, but, I mean, if we couldn't get on the same page as a country in a pandemic, how are we going to get on the same page with anything else, literally? Right,
it's like the end of the Naked Gun, where everybody's like hugging everybody, and the Jews and the Arabs are hugging each other, and the mailman and the dog.
Nope, that's
the kind of unity we need,
and that's not happening. We know that. Or
no, it's not.
At the end of Volcano, that terrible movie with Tommy Lee Jones and what's her name, Anne Heche.
Anne Heche.
Yep, when everybody's covered in the ash from the volcano. And then the kid's making that big poignant moment of, like, everybody's the same. And everyone, you know, and all they did was make everybody white, and that made it all better suddenly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably a good time to stop the show.
No. I'm saying it's unintentionally racist is what they did. Not that I think it's better if everybody was white, but I'm saying. Yeah. But you're not going to.
That really is a good.
You're not going to get those things anymore. It's over. We're done as a society, basically. And it'd be better if we're all covered in ash, right? So.
Yes.
Yeah, from the Yellowstone supervolcano. Who the hell knows? It could happen. This would be the year.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's what we call July.
Yeah, I hope. To be honest with you, I kind of hope. Just make it better. Just go to sleep. Yeah, that'd be fine. So,
sure.
That'd
be fine. Exactly. All right. So that's our show. You know, feel free to weigh in if you guys have any predictions or thoughts about the 60 games or any of the new rules or whatever else you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. You have the Twitter, you have the email, so yeah, hit us up.
Twit or email us.
Yes, do that. So from all of us here at Banner Up, I am Fred Solomon.
And I'm Jimmy Enright. See you later.
Let's find each other tonight. Everything will be all right. Don't hesitate now. Let's find each other tonight. If you need some company, Mama, take a chance on me. Don't hesitate now. Let's find each other tonight. You don't wanna be like those other dreamers that dream about loving and never love. You wanna be a screamer. So honey, I'm open. And honey, I'm open. If you need some company, Mama, take a chance on me. Hey, don't hesitate now. Let's find each other tonight. Everything will be all right. Don't hesitate now. Let's find each other tonight. If you need some company, Mama, take a chance on me. Don't hesitate now. Let's find each other tonight. Take a chance on me. Hey, don't hesitate now. Let's find each other tonight. Don't hesitate now. Let's find each other tonight. Find each other tonight.